Well, that's a good thought for a dreary, rainy day, isn't it? Praising my Savior all the day long, every day. Well, you have in your bulletin this morning a K-Group brochure. And that ought to kind of wake us all up to the fact that we're going to begin our spring K-Group season this evening at 5:30. That K-Group season is going to run for about 8 weeks through almost to Easter. So we're going to get it all in this spring before things like Easter and spring break and all of those things. So if you're not in a K-Group, you need to be in one. There's a table out in the connector. You can find out where the groups are here at church or where there's one that might be close to you in your neighborhood. But this is an opportunity for you to learn and to grow and to meet other people and to rejoice together in what God's doing in each other's lives. To make it simpler for you that have children and young people, we have programs here at the church, children's programs, music programs, nursery, youth programs. All of those things are concurrent with the K-Groups. Children's programs, you can drop off at 5:15 and pick the children up again by 7:15. Again, there's information out in the connector. As you and I go through life, nothing is more crucial than for you and for me to walk by faith. What does that mean? Well, I like to say it means that you and I take God at His word, that we live as if every word is true, and it is. We live as if it's true regardless of the circumstances, and regardless of whether I get off on the right side of the bed in the morning or the wrong side of the bed. Regardless of my feelings, I live and I walk by faith. Now, if you are living and walking by faith, well, then it separates you, doesn't it, from the rest of the people on this earth who don't believe. Our subject this morning, if you haven't guessed it, is faith in God, particularly as it's focused in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian is one who has faith. We are identified as believers, as those who believe. But what is faith? We're beginning a study this morning that will run on for 8 or 9 weeks of Hebrews chapter 11. That very important portion of God's Word contains, first of all, a unique definition of biblical faith, which is then followed by a number of examples, practical examples, of how that faith can be and has been exercised. We begin this morning with a definition of biblical faith. Will you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? We're going to read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to your word, we're conscious, O Lord, that we need your Spirit. We pray that you would come now and give us understanding of your word. Beyond that, O Lord, we pray that you would work in our hearts in such a way that we believe your word. that we desire to live according to your word more and more. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Biblical faith is, first of all, that which is certain. Many of you doubtless have heard this passage of Scripture before. You've read it. Some of you have memorized it. Verse 1, let me read it again. NIV translation this time. It says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You've heard that before. I wonder how much you've really thought about what that verse says. You know, as I read that verse, as I think about it a little bit, there almost seems to be kind of a contradiction. Marty and I used to live in Missouri. Some of you would remember that Missouri is known as the Show Me State. I don't know exactly what that means, but it at least means that Missourians supposedly don't believe something until you show it to them. A lot of us are Missourians at heart. God says faith is being sure and certain of what we do not see. Being sure or certain of what is not shown or demonstrated to us. Some people like to say that only two things are certain: death and taxes. By faith, I would submit to you that the Christian has a longer list. The Christian, first of all, is certain of the future. That's what we hope for. People who believe are future-oriented people. We're certain, first of all, of the future of the world. Peter says this in chapter 3. He says, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know how you got in the mood you're in right now. Maybe it was looking out the window and thinking it's dark awful long this morning. Are you sad today? Are you sick? Are you discouraged? You see, by faith, you and I are looking forward. We're looking forward to a day when the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. It's Revelation chapter 21. You see, by faith, I am certain of the future of this world. And then by faith, I'm certain of my own future. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, has faith in him, should not perish, but has everlasting life. John goes on to write in 1 John chapter 5, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know, be certain that you have eternal life. Do you know this morning, as you sit here in church, do you know that you have eternal life? Maybe you're asking me a question now. How can I know that for certain? How can you be sure of your future and your final destination? I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Nobody I know, I don't think anybody, can see the future. But by faith, by believing in the name of the Son of God, you and I can be sure and certain of our future. We can know that we have eternal life. The Christian is certain of the future. And then the Christian is also certain of the Father, certain of what we do not see. That verse calls attention to the fact that there's a whole another world out there. That verse speaks of a spiritual world. The primary reference in that verse is to God Himself. Remember that Jesus said, God is spirit. And then John writes down in 1 John, or in John chapter 1, no one has ever seen God. God is a spirit. You and I can't see Him. Let me tell you, His existence is more real than yours or mine. In fact, we exist only because He exists. Your faith depends on His existence, not the other way around. Sometimes people get the idea, well, I believe in one thing and he believes in another thing, and the reality of what I believe in sort of depends on the fact that I believe. That's absurd. God's existence is not dependent in any way on our faith or on anything that involves us. It cannot be seen. Therefore, his existence cannot be ultimately proved or disproved. But he has spoken, and he has acted. And we see his handiwork. Psalm 19 puts it this way. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. No matter where I live on the face of this earth, every day when I walk out of my house, there is a God. There is a God. The creation is crying out to me, to everyone. We not only see his handiwork, but brothers and sisters, we are his handiwork. When a man or a woman believes, there comes a certainty, a settled sure conviction. I'm certain of my future, and I am certain of my Father. Biblical faith is, first of all, certain. Secondly, biblical faith is commended. That's the thrust of verse 2. It says, this faith is what the ancients were commended for. Biblical faith is recorded. People for thousands of years have been living by faith. And there is a record of that faith. There are examples for us to read about. And those examples, that record is in the scriptures. This record has been very carefully preserved for thousands of years before Jesus Christ. And this biblical faith is, this record is summarized in the remainder of Hebrews chapter 11. That's what we're going to be studying over the next several weeks in our sermons and in the evenings in our K groups. But in addition to the biblical record, you and I ought to have a record. A record of God's faithfulness to me and my living by faith in response to His faithfulness. You and I are so often encouraged, aren't we, by our own personal records. Encouraged to go on with God. Encouraged to persevere when the going gets tough. That record is going to encourage you over and over again to be able to say, thus far has God helped me. Look back with me at verse 2 for a moment. It says, this faith is what the ancients were commended for. We might ask the question, who are these ancients? Who are these people of old, as the ESV puts it? Well, we're going to meet them over these next weeks. They're men like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, and women like Rahab, other women who, it says, received back their dead, raised to life again. Men and women, very different from each other. We're going to see that. But they shared a common characteristic. They lived by faith. Now we're going to notice in our future study of this great chapter that it has a number of what we might call character sketches, but they contain only those features that illustrate their faith in God. We're not going to find out all the... These aren't biographies. These are, if you will, spiritual biographies. Has to do with their faith, and that's in order to encourage each of us to live by faith. We need to understand, as we look at these biblical records and even as we look at our own records, we need to understand that faith is not really about men and women. Faith is not really about us. Biblical faith is all about God. It's a record of His faithfulness. We only respond to that faithfulness. His great faithfulness is what provides strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow and blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. That all comes from God. I wonder when the last time was that you thought about your own personal record of God's faithfulness to you. When's the last time that you've taken the time to count your many blessings, to name them one by one? You know, when you do that, it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Biblical faith is recorded, and then biblical faith, you see, is rewarded. Because it says the ancients were commended. For example, it says in verse 5, which we'll get to, that Enoch was commended as one who pleased God. It goes on to say in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Our faith pleases God. He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You'd understand that God is the judge of all the earth. One day we're all going to appear before God. What will commend me to God on that day? One thing, faith. Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me, that's faith, has eternal life and will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life. What is faith? That which is certain. Certain of the future, certain of the Father. Faith is also, secondly, that which is commended. The Bible contains a record of the faithful. And it speaks of a reward for those who are faithful. Well, what kind of faith is commended? That's our last question here. Well, not what we might call intellectual assent. Yeah, that sounds right. Not temporal faith, not only faith in this life. You know, many people in our day say that they have faith. I think the last 15, 20 years, faith has become an even more generic word. We speak of people of faith now, don't we? We speak of faith-based organizations. we hear that language, and that ought to kind of raise our antenna up just a little bit. We ought to say, well, what's the object of that faith? I mean, faith is probably a good thing, but I need to know what that faith is in. You see, faith is only the instrument. It must always have an object. Many people in a gathering like this will say, I believe. I believe on Sunday. I believe especially in church. Faith is a religious word, isn't it? Church word. Ought to be no surprise to anybody who's here this morning that I'm up here talking about faith. After all, we're in church. That's what I'm supposed to talk about. That's what I'm being paid to talk about. I had an interesting visit one evening when Marty and I lived in, it was shortly after we had moved to North Carolina. Two men from the neighborhood came to visit us, and they identified themselves as members of a local Baptist church, and they knew I was going to be the new preacher at the Presbyterian church, and I shared my testimony right away. So it wasn't their usual evangelistic call. These two men were a great, great encouragement to me. It was such a blessing. They knew many of the members in our church, and they'd been praying for our church, and right before they left, they prayed for me and for my new ministry there. But in the course of our conversation, one of them got to talking about another visit that he'd made some years ago to a man who was a member of another Baptist church. Thankfully, this man wasn't a Presbyterian, because when the visitor tried to have a spiritual discussion, the man said, well, I don't talk about politics or religion. Well, I hope you understand that your faith cannot be kept in a neat little compartment or category to be kind of dusted off and talked about only on Sunday. Because this last verse tells us loudly and clearly that biblical faith is comprehensive. Listen, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Biblical faith, you see, has reference to all of creation, and even more importantly, our faith has reference to a creator. My faith is basic to my whole existence. Faith is basic to all existence. Faith encompasses creation. The universe was formed at God's command. Creation is where our Bible begins. And creation is where faith begins. At the risk of stating the obvious here, verse 3 follows after verse 1. Creation is the first and the greatest example of being certain of what we do not see. By faith, and parenthetically in no other way, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. We were not there to hear that command. We were not there to see what happened. We take it all on faith. Everything else is excluded. Nobody can have a clue about creation except by believing the Creator. Real simple. Nobody else was there. How can a man be so arrogant and foolish as to guess, or to put it perhaps more scientifically, to postulate hypotheses or theories about something so stupendous as creation? We must have faith. God, our Maker, designed us that way. Not faith in what other men say, men who themselves were not there to see, not faith in men and their puny theories, but faith in the only one who was there, the only one who did see, faith in what he is pleased to tell us about that day that he spoke and the universe came into being. But you see, the scriptures confront us with more than an act of creation. Our faith must be comprehensive. The object of that faith is not simply a procedure, but the object is the producer. I suspect many people could accept the idea of creation if it were not for the existence of a creator. In fact, all of the so-called scientific theories for the origin of the universe involve processes and so on which we can't observe in the laboratory. We can't observe them anywhere else, for that matter. These theories don't require any more or less faith than creation. I would submit to you they are just attempts to sidestep the existence of a creator. Because, you see, most people are prepared to believe almost anything except the existence of a superior supernatural person who made them and who therefore holds them accountable to him. Biblical faith is comprehensive. It not only encompasses the creation, but it also embraces the Creator. What is seen was not made out of what was visible. Nothing was here. No one was present but God. And the Bible begins in a very simple and yet a very profound way. In the beginning, God. Whoa. Where'd God come from? How did he begin? Well, he's God. He has had no beginning. He's always been. I like to say, I don't know anybody like that. Well, I do now. You do now. There was nothing except him. And then suddenly he spoke, and the whole universe began to appear out of nothing. God, from the beginning, is behind everything. He's in control of everything, including you and me. That's the rub for us, usually. Our faith must be comprehensive because of creation and our Creator God. Our faith, therefore, invades every single area of my life, or it's simply not the faith that the Bible is here describing. Comprehensive. It's not a church word. It's not a Sunday word. All of my life depends upon my faith in God. Every decision, every relationship, every concern either evidences my faith in Jesus Christ, or it is speaking loudly and clearly that that faith doesn't exist. Biblical faith, in closing, is certain, commended, comprehensive. Maybe I've been talking about something this morning that you don't have, or perhaps something you want more of. Faith, the Bible says, is a gift from God. I do believe, a man said one time to Jesus, help me overcome my unbelief. Maybe you've wanted to believe. Maybe you've wanted to have faith, but somehow you haven't quite figured out that you have to humble yourself and ask God for that faith to believe. Have you ever done that? Would you do that right here and right now? And then some people say, well, I believe, I have faith, but sometimes I'm just not sure. You've been talking about certainty, but I have doubts. I'm not certain of what I can't see. Let me ask you to analyze your faith just a little bit. What do you believe? What do you have faith in? Do you have faith in a powerful, sovereign God who saves his people completely? Is he alone the object of your faith? Or are you kind of mixing in some trusting of yourself, believing somehow that, I'm a pretty good person. In fact, I've done more good things than I've done bad things. Well, you see, we're talking about certainty this morning. You can't be sure of that. You're not the judge of that. God is. Our scripture equates biblical faith with certainty. I can't be certain of myself, but I can be certain if I have received and am resting alone in what Jesus has done for me. Maybe you've seen study, I don't know when it was done exactly, but it's a very interesting study because it seems to say that about one out of ten Christians are willing to say that they are living with a Christian world and life view. That study has spawned, maybe some of you have heard of the Truth Project that's coming out of Focus on the Family. But one out of ten evangelical Christians are living with a biblical world and life view. One out of ten Christians are more influenced by Christ than they are by the culture. Nine out of ten evangelical Christians are more walking by sight than they are by faith. And so the last point this morning is extremely crucial. You say, well, you're talking about somebody else. Those are terrible statistics. One out of ten evangelical Christians, I would say, has got it right. If it's true, and it is, that biblical faith is always comprehensive, that you and I walk by faith, we live by faith. If I really believe, if I'm really certain that I have eternal life because I'm trusting in Christ alone, then I not only confess that with my lips, but I also confess Him, you see, with my life. So that day after day and more, my life is not what I want to do. But Lord, what would you have me to do? Can you hold our decisions up to that test? Can I hold my actions up to that test? That's what it means to walk by faith. Well, we're going to be talking about it some more over these next weeks. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, a word that is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. We're thankful for what it teaches us about what you want us to know about our relationship with you. And Lord, we do confess to you that we are influenced by the culture that we live in. And that culture is running away from you at breakneck speed. And Lord, keep us close to you. Forgive us for the times we stray, for the times we tend to follow the culture more than Christ. Help us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. You stand with me for the benediction. Now may grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.